Blog Talk Radio.
Your presence amazes me. Your glory surrounds me. When I walked in this room, I felt your hand upon me. To think how great you are, still you would touch someone like me. Amazes me. Your glory surrounds me. When I walked in this room, I felt your hands upon me. To think how
and your grace. God, you continue to amaze me daily. Welcome to Simply the Word Ministries, where I am your host, the prophetess and pastor, Krishna Osuansa. As I always say, it is a blessing as well as a privilege to be before you again once more on this evening. I know it's been a while, but can you come on into the room and help me just lift up the name of Jesus? For he is so worthy to be praised, and he inhabits our praises. Amen. Can you even get and imagine in your mind how the angels worship him daily? Can we even fathom in our minds what the angels do all day to worship God? But the word of the Lord tells us that he made us just a little lower than the angels. Amen. So he inhabits our praises. He inhabits our glory in him. He inhabits our thanksgiving for him. And in all that we do, we need to glorify his name. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that you have made, and you said, rejoice and be glad. God, we thank you because once more you have allowed us another chance, another day to come before you and sit in your presence and say, thank you, Jesus. not for what you did, but because of your grace and your mercy, God, that we weren't consumed in our sin. And Father God, we thank you on tonight because we know that you are a way maker. We know that you are a miracle worker. We know that you are a promise keeper. We know that you are the light in the darkness, oh God. That's who you are, Lord. We know you to be El Shaddai. We know you to be Elohim. We know you to be Jehovah Gabor. We know you to be Jehovah Adonai. God, we know you to be Shalom, the God of our peace. And God, we thank you for the peace that surpasses all understanding. Even as we get into the word on tonight, God, I ask that you touch each and every person that is under the sound of my voice. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. God, I decrease so that you may increase. God, I ask that you touch each and every person that is under the sound of my voice, their ears, God, that they would not harden their hearts unto your word, but, Lord, that they will hearken unto you, saying, Lord, who is this God that she's serving? Lord, what must I do to be saved? God, we thank you on tonight. God, I ask that you open up each and every heart, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, for many of us are going through trials and tribulations, but God, we know that they didn't come to tear us down, but they come to make us strong. And even in the midst of us walking through our trials and our tribulations, oh God, I pray that you hold us up on every side. You bear us up, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. You said in your word that you would send a comforter back to bear us up. God, that when we cannot hold ourselves up, you got us. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, we bless you on tonight. These blessings we ask in your name, Jesus. We come against every backlash and retaliation of the enemy. In Jesus' name, God, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. He is so merciful, and he is enduring forever. Amen. As we begin to indulge into the word tonight, we're not going to prolong much time. The subject topic tonight is, who is this man named Jesus that we talk about? Amen. What is it that he means to us? Why is it that no one accepts him for who he is? We accept everything from everyone else except for who we think it ought to come from. Amen. Our foundational scripture is going to be coming from Romans 12 and 2. Amen. And if you'll just grab your Bibles real quickly and go there with me. It says in the word of God, I'm going to read from the first verse. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Our foundational verse is Romans 12 and 2, which is the second verse. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. So I just want to talk a little bit tonight about who is this man, Jesus, that we preach about. Amen. There was something so disturbing today on social media that there was a young man in church singing, I don't see anything wrong with the little bump and grind. Amen. But what he did was he removed R. Kelly's words from the song and put his own words in there about Jesus. Now, the question was asked, do we think that this is acceptable? Do we as the church folk feel that it's acceptable to take a secular world music whom is very, very known in and out the country and bring it into the church world and think that it's okay? Amen. Do we think that? Do we think that it's okay? The word of God says, and you just heard it in Romans 12, the second chapter, it says, be not conformed to this world, neither the patterns or the things of this world. Amen. This is what he said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Amen. And we as Christians, we have a lot to say about what's the will of God and what's not the will of God, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And what I am finding in this Christian walk is that people wrong and say that it's right, and take right and say that it's wrong. Amen. The world has the nerve to judge the Christian folk all the same. You know how they do it. One bad apple spoils the bunch. Amen. So they put everybody in one basket and say every preacher is the same. All preachers are out for money. All preachers are out to get rich. All preachers is just out to make money and take care of their own wealth, their own family, and forget about the church. Well, can we turn that question around? Why is it that we as Christians, when wrong come in the church, we will say that they are bathed in Christ? Why is it that we will speak these things and say that they're bathed in Christ? Now, I have a question. I understand that when Christians come in, if they're not in the full acknowledge, the full knowledge of God, that they are bathed. But I have a question. When you first have your child, you and your wife or you and your partner, when you first have your kids, do you teach that child wrong, right, wrong at first, and then teach that child right? Or do you teach that child right at first and then teach him what the wrong thing is not to do? Amen. So I got a problem with church people who tend to think that it's okay to allow the world inside the church and think because they are not as knowledgeable as we think that they are or need to be, that it's acceptable to say it's okay for them to bring secular music and secular dancing into the church and say that it's holy. Now, we have some crossover scriptures. Amen. I do have some backup scriptures and everything. If you'll just turn with me to Ezra 10 and 11. Amen. And then we're going to indulge in the word again some more. It's Ezra 10, the 10th chapter and the 11th verse. It says this. Let me get to it. It says this. It says, here it says, now honor the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do his will. Separate yourselves from people around you and from your foreign wives. The whole assembly responded with a loud voice. You are right. You must do as you say. But there are many people here, and it is rainy, and it is a rainy season. So we cannot stand outside. Besides, this matter cannot be taken care of in a day or two, because we have sinned greatly in this thing. Okay, now, my target scripture was actually 11, but I like to go above and beyond and read what's there before and what's behind, what's after that scripture. Now, clearly, the Bible tells us to separate ourselves. He told us to separate ourselves. So this is a big question to the church. If God is going to judge the church first, why do you think that the world is going to be judged before you? Do you think that you are in a time such as now that you think that God is not going to judge the church first? You know why he's going to judge the church first? Because we allow what is not supposed to be in the church in the church. Amen. We allow things that shouldn't be. And instead of us telling them when there are babes that it's wrong and teaching them right, we allow them to do much like we do with the kids today. We think that when kids are cute, that, you know, it's cute when they're cussing and hitting you and saying things back to you, you know, being very disrespectful. This is the generation that we're in. So now I'm getting to see that this is why people in the world think, or people in the church think, that it's okay for the world to come in and do what they want as they do in the world, in the church. But then when you see a church person that's drinking and preaching and smoking and getting high and doing what the world is, the same thing you do is turn around and you begin to put the church with the world. You begin to judge the whole church. But the church cannot judge the world. We tend to make excuses for these that are in the world. And one thing that I'm a firm believer of, and I tell anybody, and I made this comment again on social media, if you will not teach your child what's wrong first, then why would you tend to allow a babe in Christ to come into the church and allow that child of God, I'll put it that way, to think that it's okay to be wrong at first. And I blame the leaders. I really do. When God says that he's judging the church first, this is why he's saying he's going to judge the church first, because leaders, we're not standing up for what's right. In the book of Matthew, when Jesus went into the synagogue and turned everything over in the synagogue, he said, this will not ever happen again. This will not happen. He said, because we don't reverence. We do not reverence the sanctuary anymore. We allow anything and everything to come into the sanctuary, and it's okay. But guess what, saints of God? You cannot walk into a mosque and be talking. You can't even walk into the mosque with your shoes on. They consider that holy and sacred. You cannot walk into a Catholic sanctuary and just sit down and have conversation. When you come into this Catholic sanctuary, you must be sitting in there and praying, and it must be quiet. You cannot walk into a Buddhist temple and think that you can sit there and have all kinds of conversations, model sessions going, makeup sessions going, who's sleeping with who's mad at who. You cannot have these conversations going. And you can forget about going into a Jew temple with all of these things. You cannot even get close to the altar. Only the rabbis are able to get to that altar and sit there. Other than that, you must reverence the church. So this is where my problem comes in with the Christian people. How dare you want us to preach and teach about a God that you have made unbelievable? My God, it's tight, but it's right. How dare you want us to sit back and allow you to keep putting down this God that we're talking about when you have so many Christians that are putting their lives on the line for the Jesus that we're talking about? And it's a wonder why we cannot get the world into the church. It's because we have allowed the world into the church. And what happens is because we have allowed the world into the church, which is our hearts, by the way, not the physical building, we cannot allow Jesus on the inside. I need you to catch this. Because you have allowed the world in your heart, there's no room for Jesus. He says you cannot serve two gods. You will either serve one or hate the other. You cannot serve two gods. I have a problem with people who prophesy but yet get on social media and is seeing how the world is seen amongst people, because we choose not to be defied against the odds and stand out. As leaders, we must stand out. As leaders, we must stand up for what's right. We cannot fit in. You don't fit in that territory. When he told you to be a peculiar people, he missed that thing. This is not about the church being torn down. How could we expect to correct the world when God is trying to correct the church? The church cannot correct the world until the church becomes corrected. Who told you that in the sanctuary we got to come in with these big old hats on, and we got to come in from women being provocatively dressed with makeup all over our face, looking like we're on the runway, you know, clothes so tight, men sitting over here in the corner with their horse waves, knowing that they're married, but yet they're sleeping with Sister Fefe over in the corner, and you got a daughter over here with Sister Mimi, and then you turn around and you even got a woman on the outside. And the sad part about the situation is that we allow the children in the church to be just as disrespectful. We don't allow, we allow the kids to run through the church. We allow them to get smart with the people of God. We don't respect the pastor. We don't respect the deacons. We don't respect the mothers. We don't respect anyone in the church. And you wonder why your children are being killed and they're being locked up and nothing good is working in your favor. We have gotten so far away from holiness to it's pathetic.
Amen. We have gotten so far away from holiness till it is simply pathetic. We want the world to believe who God is, but we have yet made him unbelievable. He said something in Scripture. I believe it was in John 15. It says that if the world hates you, it's because they hated me first. But you know what? As I was driving tonight, God gave me a revelation. He says what it is that the world is not hating me because they choose to hate me. They're hating me because the people that say that they represent who I am makes me hate it amongst them. How can you tell them to love God when you make him unbelievable? How? How could two walk except they agree? So you cannot tell me as a pastor, as a leader, that it's okay to go out and curse and drink and play cards and do all of these things that the world do. The Bible tells you do not be spotted amongst them. This is the word of God. This is the word of God, people. And yes, this is a message for those that are leaders, because you cannot expect your sheep to follow the shepherd if the shepherd is doing wrong. But then again, it really do speak for itself. The sheep follow the shepherd, because if the shepherd never sets a standard of what holiness is, then guess what? People will not know what holiness is. It's a shame to belong to all these mega ministries and you think that it's okay to show up, give your tithes and your offering, but yet still go out here and live a promiscuous lifestyle, fornicate, adult, lie, deceive, connive, all of these things that shouldn't be named amongst Christians. And we have the nerve to be upset because the world don't want to accept who Jesus is. We have made him unbelievable. We've made him unbelievable. So guess what? We're going to be held accountable. The Lord says that the blood of the people will be on our hands. Those that are teachers, preachers, those that are part of the fivefold ministry. My God, my God. Where there is no conviction to make you do right, there definitely is no redemption in you doing your wrong. And this is why so many people see wrong as right and right as wrong. The Bible says, the Lord says that he will turn you into a reprobated mind. He would allow you to think that what you're doing is absolutely right. And guess what? In hell, you will lift up your eyes. Holiness is still right. The Bible says holiness without which no man, he says there is no respectable person, no man will see the Lord. But yet we still walk around and say we're in church every Sunday. Yet we still walk around and say that, yeah, we love the Lord and God has my back, and then come right back on here and cuss people out on Facebook, cuss people out in public. Cuss people out. We say anything and everything out of our mouth. No reverence for who God is. But yet we hold up this banner. I don't even want to say the bloodstained banner, because it's too shameful for you to say that you held up the bloodstained banner for a man that you all have made to be unbelievable amongst the world. My God, my God. My God, my God, it's tight, but it's right. We cannot keep going on thinking that God is not seeing us. You wonder why there's so many shootings in the churches. You're wondering why God said, I won't have my people ignorant. Do you honestly believe that he would allow a gunman to come into a church and shoot up a praying church while you in prayer? Come on. Something is wrong with this picture. You cannot be in prayer and turn around and a devil come and sit in the church with you among prayer. Let me tell you something. The word of God says that at the name of Jesus, every demon trembles. Every person will bow and every tongue will confess that he is God. You mean to tell me that the enemy can come into a church and sit beside you who is praying and take over the church? Something is wrong with this picture, y'all, and you have to talk to me. You have to tell me what it is that we, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what it is that we must do to get the church in order before God comes, because he's coming. And don't you think that he's going to see a spot or a wrinkle in his church? He said, I'm coming for a church that is without a spot or a wrinkle. So please, whatever you do, don't tell me that the church can't be perfect, because the Bible says otherwise. We are not a perfect people, but we can operate in excellency. You do not have to walk in your wrongdoing. It's a choice that you make to walk in your wrongdoing. It's not a must. It's not absolute that you walk in your wrongdoing. It's a choice. And the Bible, before this world ends, his word will reach all four corners of the earth before this ends. And he said, even when heaven and earth pass away, he said, my word will still stand. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to end it right here on tonight, but I want to encourage you all, those who are listening in the archive, if you don't know God in the pardon of your sins, let me recommend them to you. We all are sinners, saved by grace, but you must know that grace will run out. You must go before God and ask him to forgive you of your sins and get into a word Bible teaching, not a false doctrine, not a doctrine that people have picked up and taught on their own. No, get into a Bible teaching church where the pastor cares for your soul. Amen. We are all sinners saved by grace. But one thing that I am a prime believer of is that the Bible was put here as an intervention and a prevention. The word of God would interfere on your wrongs and prevent you from looking up and asking, why am I in hell with your soul being tortured? Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for those that are on here. We thank you for those who are listening, those who will come into the archives and listen, God. I pray that whatever I've spoken concerning your word, God, that it will fall on great, solid ground, God, that you will chop up every hard heart, that you will break down every hard mental status, oh God, that stands up against you. God, we bind everything that exalts itself against you. We cast down every imagination in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we give you total control in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless those that are on here listening to me minister, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that something was said to prick their heart to come before you and say, Lord, forgive them. They've been doing it all wrong. God, teach them how to do it right. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, you have your way, God. You can accept a man, except you draw a man, oh God. He can't even come to you. But you said in your word that if we lift you up, if I and I be lifted up, that you will draw all men unto you. God, have your way on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you all for tuning in to Simply the Word Ministries, where I am your host, amen, prophetess and pastor Krishna Owusu Ansa. It is a blessing as well as a privilege to have been before you on tonight. I say go and be blessed. Go in peace, and may the peace of God surround you and surpass everything that you're going through. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you.